This is the second part of the conversation between Phil and Jessica McLean on the CPA exam and diversity in accounting. If you haven't listened to the first part of this episode, check your podcast feed.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Jaeger CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at JaegerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Jaeger.
What was your level at Grant Thornton? Manager?
I came into the senior associate and was promoted to manager when I was there.
Oh, very good. Well, then how long were you there before they promoted you?
About a year. About a year.
That's pretty good. I commend you for that.
Thank you.
And as a result of that, being a manager, it was easy to get a position as a controller. Is that correct? Am I wrong?
I really believe my public accounting experience definitely helped with my current position. I know it's something that my current employer liked about me. They liked the fact that I had spent so much time in public accounting. They understand that the training, the hard work that we go through within that part of the profession. So it definitely was a plus for me in getting my current position.
But you also had a CPA, did you not, when you went into...
Yes. Yes, I did.
All right. So why would you advise a lot of people come out of college and they don't want to go for the CPA because of the fifth year or the additional credits, all right? Why would you tell them it's worth going through that, all right? Especially with what you need to get into to be in a high-level position like controller, all right? What would you tell them about the CPA, all right? Don't go into it if you don't want to, or it's a real good idea to get the CPA in spite of what you end up doing.
I always will say it's a good idea to get your CPA license. The credibility that comes with the license, the additional help with job security, the additional money that you can make as well, the additional doors and opportunities. So it's good to put the work in early on to get the additional credits, to sit for the exam, because once you have that license, and of course, keeping up with your CPEs, it's something that you can always keep and no one can take from you. And it just brings many, many benefits throughout your career. And so, yes, it's a lot of work in the beginning, but it's so worth it. So worth it.
Yeah, I think it's the union card, would you call it, to get into the profession?
I feel that gold stamp of approval.
The gold stamp of approval. Let me write that down. Yeah, because people are telling me, they didn't pass the CPA exam, all right? And every job they go and look at, they say, do you have a CPA, all right? And they say, no, it's hard to get the job.
It is. That's just how it is. By having that CPA, it can make things easier. Not saying that you'll just get every job you want, but a lot of employers are looking for that. They are.
Is it trouble getting people with CPAs to work? Is it hard to find CPAs in the employment environment?
I wouldn't say it's hard to find them. And with what I've seen that in just the CPA is also the public accounting experience. There are a lot of employers that who are, business and industry, whether it's nonprofit, a public company, private company, they also like candidates that have that public accounting experience as well. But with that, I will say, you don't have to go into public accounting to have a great career in our profession. I always say that it's best to do what works for you and with how you see your career. But there are pluses to working in public accounting. There definitely is.
Did you get not-for-profit experience by working at Grant Thornton?
No, I actually was in the federal government space. So being in the D.C. area, as the federal government employs many people, whether directly or as contractors. And so I spent my first, 11 years of my career performing financial and IT audits for federal government agencies.
So you did have experience working in government agencies?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Without that experience, how hard do you think it would have been to get your present position as a controller dealing with not-for-profits?
And what's interesting is because I went from government to nonprofit, it's definitely two different industries. Just the statements work, the accounting, the technical words that are used. But as I mentioned before, my employer liked the fact that I had public accounting experience. It's how I think as an auditor, how I look at things as a prior auditor. That was very important to them and something that they saw with value with me. So although I may not have had all the specific industry knowledge, there's other pluses that I brought to the job.
I've been told by people who are in advisory services that even though they're not doing public accounting anymore, in order to do consulting, they need that CPA and that public accounting experience, because part of it is they got to read the financial statements. I mean, that's what, I mean, the big area now is advisory services, consulting.
Yes, it is. Right? It's a big market, yes.
Yeah, and a lot of accountants are going into that. You know, they want to go into information technology, all right, which is a form of consulting advisory services. Mm-hmm. But I got, you know, I just thought, gee, if you're going into an advisory service and it deals with only information technology, do you still think you need the CPA?
And I've talked to individuals that I know there's individuals that actually have the CPA and didn't do much of the financial side and everything is on the technology side, but they still saw benefits to having the CPA license. Yeah. and communicating financial data, understanding financial data. So there was still a benefit that many individuals see, although they have a CPA license to spend most of their time doing information technology, advisory, and consulting services. They like to feel like it's a great balance to have both.
Do you feel, does your not-for-profit get involved at all in artificial intelligence, bots, or even cloud accounting? Are you involved in that?
No, not in my current organization, no.
Okay. But you've had that experience from the CPA firms?
So within the federal government, that's still a new space. Again, with the federal government, which is a little bit, I would say, behind when it comes to our commercial counterparts.
How can you say that about the federal government? Gee.
It takes them some time. And so I still read about what's going on in the federal space,
right.
And what they're doing with RPA and artificial intelligence. And so they're definitely catching up.
You see them catching up anytime soon?
There's progress. I mean, there definitely is progress. I wouldn't say that they're on the same level as the Amazons of the world, but no, they're definitely the hiring that they're doing, the skill sets they're looking for, making that emphasis on this emerging technology is definitely something I've seen.
You are on it says here in the LinkedIn, you're a board member. A board member of who?
So I sit on the board of the Maryland 529 program, which is formerly known as the College Savings Plan of Maryland. And I also sit on the AICPA Foundation as a trustee as well. So the AICPA Foundation many scholarships, and I said I'm a trustee for that organization.
Giving out those scholarships, like for getting doctorates, you know, is that what part of it is?
Oh, we give money to, whether it's transfer students at community colleges, four-year colleges, high school students, PhDs, CPA exam review course, financial resources as well. So there's many aspects of individuals we touch within the profession to help them achieve their goals of degrees or CPA licenses.
Do you have a lot of the money from the foundation going to people, going for the PhDs in accounting?
Yes, I actually posted on it. The scholarship is actually open now. I think it closes March 1st for money that's being given to CPAs that are looking to get their PhDs.
Now, tell me, what does someone in the 40 under 40, which you got that award you mentioned, all right, what exactly stood out with the person who actually sort of nominated you? Why did they think you should go into that or receive that award, all right? What did you show the reason you received that award, the 40 under 40 in accounting?
Wow. All I can do is tell you what I've done. And I guess the editors at the CPA Practice Advisor magazine thought that was worth awarding. But part of it is my involvement with AICPA. Again, I sit on several committees. My involvement even at the state level with the MACPA, Maryland Association of CPAs as well. Just my career progression as well. And the community service work that I do, again, I sit on the board for Maryland 529 as a volunteer. I sit on their audit and governance committee. So between what I do with the accounting profession, my career progress, even what I do in the community, I guess those things culminated together to say that I was worthy of the award.
Do you have any hobbies that you have time for with all this? It sounds like you spend so much time in all these, organizations, all right? Do you actually, are you able to sort of put that aside and do something else? And what do you do?
Oh, definitely. So I definitely like to watch Netflix.
Netflix, yes, very good. We love Netflix, guys, don't we?
Yes, yes.
By the way, the stock is going up tremendously.
I got CNBC on right now, so keep an eye on those things. So definitely,
how's the Dow doing as we speak? Is it a lot? It was up like 30 some odd points.
It's actually up. No, NASDAQ is up. The Dow is up 102 as we speak, 31,157. And we hit a record high yesterday.
I know. And how's the Dow down? Is it down today?
Nope, the Dow was up about 100 points. Yeah, just saw it come across.
Doctor, you're making a killing, aren't you, in this market?
I mean, it helps my 401k, so.
Yeah, that's what it's good for everybody, right?
Yes.
I don't really need to do this podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, let's, the gentleman, Seth Creekmore, who is our producer and engineer, he asks you, I guess, these questions. You're passionate about a few things regarding the profession. All right, talking to students about the CPA licensing process. Well, we discussed that because you said that you were licensed in two states before being accepted to a third state because you didn't understand all the requirements. All right, how do you find out what's the right state for you? Or are they all about the, I mean, you were off one credit, you said, which is so dumb. Anyway, what did you take that one credit in? I'm just curious.
So actually, I didn't have to because when DC and Maryland rejected me because of that missing one semester credit hour, I went and applied to Virginia and Virginia accepted me. And 10 years later, here I am.
Now, did you call up Maryland and DC and tell them what you really thought of them?
I definitely called to ask why.
Yeah, that's just ridiculous. So how does a student check out the requirements? Is it an easy way other than going to every state board of accountancy?
So I know the AICPA, there's a Start Here, Go Places website that talks about the profession and even can give you website access to the different states. But I would even say you definitely want to go to the state website just to make sure it's the most accurate and up-to-date information. If there's changes that have been made, I know, for example, several years ago, Virginia changed the requirement. They allowed you to actually sit for the CPA exam with 120 credits. It used to be the 150. You could sit with 120, but you still need to get those 30 semester credit hours. And so if states are changing their requirements, you want to be aware of that. So I would say always take that due diligence and understand what the state or jurisdiction is requiring for your licensing and your exam taking as well.
NASBA had they set up this thing, I don't know if they still have it, where you pay a certain amount of money and about seven or eight states participate in this, all right? They will take your transcript. And even though you don't have the experience necessarily, like working under a CPA or not, they'll see if your experience is equivalent to that. And if so, they'll tell you you can take it in a specific state. Have you heard anything about that?
No, I wish I had heard about that when I was trying to get licensed.
Like Colorado participates in that, Montana. Ooh. Hey, they're smart. And when you think about it, there's still foreign students taking this exam, right? They want that license. So I think they set it up for those students. Like the state of Washington, a lot of foreign students go there because they're very, they work with you as far as we can get your license.
Interesting.
Right? I hope NASB is still doing that and they're still adding more states to that because being picky about, you can have someone who worked in public accounting for 3 years and they never graduate beyond the bank recs. Did you have to do proof of cash? Remember that?
Oh my gosh, yeah, the bank recs and tying up the statements and the red tick marks. When I started public accounting, I was still paper audits.
And you got your box of Crayolas for the different colors?
I had my color pencils, yes.
I think it's important that people understand you got to do your homework, all right? Mm-hmm. All right? Don't take the exam and then decide, hey, what is important? For example, is it true to say, if I want to practice as a CPA in Maryland and have my own office, I got to take the exam in Maryland, right?
So it depends. Because then there's also the reciprocity as well. I don't like to say for the DC Maryland area, I know they eventually get licensed in Virginia. And then if they decide they want to go into Maryland, they get reciprocity in Maryland or DC. Just because
but
all of
if
us.
They want to just stay in Maryland, they're going to open an office in Maryland. They're never going to leave Maryland, all right? Because they like the crabs. So what happens, all right? Is it true that you should just basically worry about getting licensed in Maryland?
Yes, if you're going to want to work and have an office and a firm or organization in Maryland, yes.
Okay. you could apply for reciprocity in another state, right?
Yes, yes. And I know, again, in our area, we were able to do that. You have to meet the requirements of reciprocity, because there's different requirements as well for that. But yes, you can.
What's the different requirements? Experience requirements mainly?
And I'm trying to remember, because I know some individuals, when I got licensed in Virginia, to get reciprocity in Maryland, you had to have your active license in another state for so many years.
They may
have changed, and this is almost 10 years ago, but there are requirements to even get reciprocity. And you have to be mindful that you're keeping your license current, active with your CPEs in your home state, because if that doesn't stay active and proper, you could lose reciprocity in the other states as well.
Oh, gee. You know, they should have a uniform accountancy act
to make it easier,
so that every state is pretty similar. All right. Because it drives the people crazy when they just figure, well, my friend took it in, Colorado, and whatever the requirements were, I just assume it's the same in every other state, but it isn't.
No, it's not.
It's the same uniform exam.
Yes.
But different requirements.
And that's what I tell students. I mentioned earlier, right? The exam is uniform. That's what's uniform.
That's the only thing that's uniform.
Yes.
All right. So do you know if they ever talk about the ASCPA making this uniform so people don't have these problems of that one state requires this years of experience? I think the education requirements are basically the same, 150 hours.
That's about, those are pretty similar, yes.
Or you get a bachelor's degree and pick up additional credits at a community college, right?
I've seen some individuals get the master's, some do the 120, and then get the additional 30 somewhere else, yes.
Now, you also said one of the things you're interested in is diversity in the accounting profession. Yes. I am on the ASCPA Women's Initiative Executive Committee. What do you mean by diversity in the accounting profession?
So what's important to me is, I should say, diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging within the accounting profession. That brings a diversity of thought, mindset. As an African-American woman within the accounting profession, there aren't many CPAs that look like me. There aren't many individuals that look like me in the upper echelons of accounting.
Well, firms. I have to say, I have a picture. I think you look pretty good. All right? But anyway, yeah, go ahead. I understand what you're saying.
And that's what's important. It's just when you have the diversity, and it's not just about race, it's just gender, it's sexual orientation. All of that brings a diversity of thought. And there's been plenty of business studies across any industry that you've thought of that talks about the benefits of having that diversity. And the WIC committees, we call it for short, our main focal point is women, but we also talk about when it comes to women of color and how even some of the concerns or topics that we talk about relating to women also relate to men as well. You know, parenthood. Transitioning to parenthood it's a big journey. It's a big jump. And it doesn't just impact the mothers. It impacts, fathers as well, whether you're adopting, you're having your own, having a baby. And so what we're trying to do is provide the resources, the mentoring and the advocacy for women in the accounting profession.
Now, last thing, and we discussed a lot of this, there are many opportunities in the profession. Is this with or without a CPA? All right. The different opportunities?
Yeah, there are different with or without a CPA, yes. But I would say there's more and great opportunities with the CPA license.
Without the CPA, it would be a lower level accounting position. Do you agree?
I don't know. But I wouldn't say there's a lower level. There are opportunities that you may miss out on. Certain jobs you may not be able to get. If that CPA license is something that's required, accounting firms, you want to make it to the level of an audit partner, guess what? You need a CPA license.
But you can be in the information technology in a consulting group and you don't have the CPA, but you have an information technology degree.
Yes. Right?
That shouldn't make a difference. Am I correct?
Correct.
I am running out of time here, and I'm sorry if I talk so much. I talk too much. I'm from New York originally, and we never stop talking.
Great conversation.
By the way, I have not seen you during this whole thing, because I have said from Google and Microsoft that it can't get off the screen,
all right?
But as long as you were able to see me and we could hear you, that's the most important thing.
Perfect.
And I just want to thank you so much for all the information you've given to us, all right? And I look at a discussion at the end and I say, was it an interesting discussion? Well, yeah, because one, all right, the time went by very quickly.
It did.
All right. And I could tell just from the minute that I start speaking to you that you have a lot of personality.
Oh, thank you so much.
And I do wish you lots of luck in your position. May I ask you something? You have a family or?
Yes, I do. I have a 2-year-old daughter and I have another baby on the way that gets here in May.
Oh, I couldn't have seen that. When do you do, if I may ask?
I am due May 23rd, baby boy.
Do it April 24th. That would be can you hold or get? No, that would be too early. I'm sorry. Actually, my friend called me this morning. He's my stockbroker, and he lives in Florida, and his daughter is due today. And he called me at 9:30 before I started working and said, Jackie's in labor. So he says, I'm going to be a grandfather today. I said, what are you going to have the grandchildren call you? So he says, because my grandchildren call me Poppy, okay? Mm. And he said, his is going to be Pop-Up. I think he thinks he's one of those things that you spin around. But anyway, Jessica, thank you very much for being on the podcast. I really appreciate it. And as I say, I wish you well and good luck with the baby, you know? Mm. That's another thing, you know. Obviously, it gets harder, does it not? Or is your firm willing to work with you during this period of time? Do they give you time off?
Yes, my employer gives me time off. They're very understanding. They know I have a 2-year-old. Back in August, my daughter's daycare closed for a month. So I was home with her, and they were very understanding. They would see her on the Zoom meetings with me. So they have been definitely compassionate and understanding of the situation and happy for me for my next bundle of joy. So they know I'm still going to be working hard and working at it. Just may have to change it up a bit, you know. Nice.
Right. They sound like a great firm to work for. What's the name of the firm again? What's the company?
I work at an organization called Brand USA.
Brand USA? Are you looking for accountants, new accountants?
No, not at the moment. Not at the moment.
Because I was going to apply. No. All right. So anyway, you just have a good weekend and stay safe.
You too.
And stay healthy, okay?
Please, you Thanks too. Again. You too. Thank you so much, Phil.
You're welcome. Thank you, everyone who's listening to this podcast. We hope you enjoyed Jessica. I enjoyed her, and she really gave us a lot of good information. So anyway, remember, every Tuesday we have a new guest and we have a new subject. And if you have any suggestions, how or you know who you want to hear, or what area they're in, we will go out of our way to try to find someone in that area. And you can reach me. Here's my phone number. It's area code 301-874-4900, 301-874-4900, extension 5, and I answer the phone, believe it or not. So take care, everyone. Stay well, stay safe, and wear your masks if you go out. Take care. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on YeagerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.